As Frater Drohara said, this is like a continuation of my previous sermon. In the previous sermon, I talked about God as the fear of Isaac. And we have this image of God as a terrifying God, powerful, mighty, and a God who blesses his people, who fights for his people. And today, we're going to look on the other side, how he's a God who is fearful, but he makes us to be fearless. So, we're going to be talking about a man from the Bible, and this man is a warrior, a general, a leader, a fighter. And I have the feeling like if Noah was here, he'd be like, yeah, we got a fighter, hoorah, right? Like, we're going to go and fight. And it's really cool that we have this person that we can look to. He's not perfect by any means. But he is a person that we can look to because of these qualities that he has. It's also interesting for the girls. Some other day, it would be beautiful to have a Bible study on women of great faith, women of great courage as well, because we need that as well. But today we're going to be talking about this guy. And he was such a manly man that he didn't even have a father. He was Joshua, the son of Nun. So, if you guys want to open up your Bibles, we're going to be reading our base passage today will be from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Everyone knows these verses, or at least the last verse, and I'm going to read them. I'm going to read them just in English, because it's kind of long. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said this. Pause really fast right here. Moses, the great leader of the children of Israel, is dead. And for sure right now, the children of Israel are scared. They're like, what's going to happen? Our great leader, the person who's led us for years and years, and God has done all these miracles through him, is dead. What's going to happen now? Is the person who's going to take over, is he going to be good enough? There's this fear that lives in the children of Israel right now. Then this is what God says to Joseph. Moses, my servant, is dead. God doesn't deny that that's there. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And here's the verse that we all know. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. We could almost stop right here. I want to read this in Romanian really fast. Nu ți-am dat eu oare porunca aceasta? Întărește-te și îmbărbătează-te. I'm going to stop right there. The next word is hard for me to say in Romanian. I can say it, just hard. Anyway, that line, întărește-te și îmbărbătează-te. I love it in Romanian. In English, it's be strong and courageous. But if you look at the word in Romanian, îmbărbătează-te, what do you call a beard? A barba, right? It's almost saying, grow a beard. Be a man. Be strong. I know that's not what it actually means, but that's what I always think of when I read it in Romanian. Grow a beard. Come on. Be a man. Don't give up. Don't give in. Fight. So that's the first thing from this verse. God is commanding him to be a man, to be strong, to be courageous. And what he's really telling him is that he has to be a man of faith. You see, we live life and we have these different feelings. Sometimes we feel fear. I don't know where I'm going for residency. Gosh, that scares me, right? Sometimes we feel tired or depressed or anxious. We have all these different feelings that we fear in life, and God, he doesn't deny those, right? Moses is dead. He accepts that we have these feelings, that we have fear and anxiety and all these different emotions, but he says, in spite of that, I want you to live in faith. According to Romans 1:17 and Habakkuk 2, verse 4, it says, the just shall live by faith. So this command that God gives to Joshua is actually a command to live by faith. Because when we live by faith rather than by our feelings, we are strong, we are courageous, we are not dismayed or terrified. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 11. This is the Hall of Faith, you guys know this. Verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if we skip down to verse 6, this is a verse I want to highlight, and it's one that I keep in the back of my pocket all the time, and I think about it. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those are the prerequisites. When Jesus said, you only have to have faith of a mustard seed. These are the two prerequisites. This is how much faith you need to have. You have to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I believe that all of us have this faith. So if we have that much faith, the faith of a mustard seed, we can do great things. And now, the question is, we come before God and we're like that guy whose son was an epileptic, and Jesus says, if you have faith, all things are possible. And he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So how can we grow in our faith? That's the real question, right? So God is commanding Joshua. He's not saying, don't be afraid. He's saying, have faith in me. So how can we grow in our faith? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. This is a verse that Frater Lazar said last week, and it was like so in line. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we study the word of God, as we take time to be in it, we get faith. If we go back to our passage in Joshua, we look at verse 9, and we're like, be strong, be courageous, and we kind of like forget the other stuff that happened beforehand. The other stuff is just like, oh, those are the promises of God. Yeah, I take those too, right? But if we actually pay attention, look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. So the prerequisite for us to have faith is to study the word of God. And God, he's very intentional in how he says it. He says all these different things. You gotta stay in the word. You gotta meditate on the word. You gotta soak it in. And as you soak it in, as you take it up, all of a sudden, as opposed to having fear, we have faith. And we walk in fearlessness. We walk unafraid. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It's a cute little verse. It says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. One of the things that we should hunger, that we should want so much in our life is the word of God so we can grow by it. This week, I went and got some baby chickens. And my dad was telling me yesterday that he went outside and he put them like a cup of food in there. He came back an hour later, and the food was gone. It wasn't like it was spilled on the ground. It was just completely gone. They ate it, all of it. So he filled up the cup. He put it there. And he came back like an hour or two later, and it was gone again. Like babes, they're hungry. They need the word so they can grow. Or they need the food so they can grow. We need the word so that we can grow. If we look at what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says to observe it. How can we observe the word of God? If we look at Jesus, he's our perfect example. When Jesus was just a child, at 12 years of age, his parents lost him. They searched for him for 3 days, and where did they find him? They found him in the temple. And what did he say to them? Don't you know that I have to be about my Father's business? He knew that he had to observe the word of God. He had to study it. And then another thing that it says in here is that you shall meditate on it day and night. Last time when I talked, I mentioned about Isaac. One of the few things it says about him is that it says this, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. I opened up my Bible to Psalm 119, and I just kind of like skimmed through, right? Just to see how many times it says, I meditate upon your word. I meditate on your precepts. It says it in verse 27, in verse 78, in verse 99, and in verse 148. Four times he says, I meditate upon your word. I meditate upon your precepts. It's so important that we take time to meditate upon the word of God. And I want to make a point of clarification here, because when I say meditate, the first thing that we think of is some guy standing like this and going, right? But that's a very Eastern thought where we're trying to empty ourselves and be filled with the powers of the universe. That's not what we mean by meditate. When we say meditate as Christians, we mean that we take the word of God and we read it and we pray, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Give me wisdom. Let me understand. Reveal yourself to me through this. And we take it and we soak on it and we savor it. We spend time in the word of God. It isn't a meditation where we're emptying ourselves so we can become one with the universe. It's a meditation where we're asking God to fill us up, to help us to draw closer to him. And it's very important that we take time to do this. Yes, it's important to just read and get the word, but it's also important to take time and to savor the word for what it is. Now, once we get through this, right, so we have fear, and God commands us to have faith, and we get faith by studying the word of God, what do we see? Do we see results? Obviously, the answer is yes. But I want to point out to you, in Hebrews 11, verse 30, this is what it says. It doesn't even say the name of Joshua. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. In Psalm 50, verse 15, it says, call upon me in the day of your trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. In Psalm 25, verse 14, it says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. As we draw close to God, he reveals himself. He fights for us. He answers us as we call upon him. Numbers 23:19. I don't have it right pulled up. But it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God's promises are all throughout the scriptures. And as we read the Bible, as we take more time to savor it and study it, we see these promises, and we can take them, and we can live our life in faith. I want to finish with the last two verses. Something that Jesus says. He's sitting at the table at the Last Supper, and this is what he says to his disciples. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Again, he doesn't deny that we're going to have problems, that we're going to have troubles, that we're going to have these feelings that want to put us down. Sine supuna, right? To suppress us and keep us from rising up until he wants us. But he says to have peace, to have good cheer, because he has already overcome the world. And then the last thing I want to finish with, it's a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. As soon as I heard the song starting today, I was like, wow, it's like perfect. It's confirmation. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Could you put it up, though, the verse? How does it finish? For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Yes, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes, we can stand upon these promises. Yes, God is our rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. But it all comes back to the glory of God. And that's the great thing. As we study the Bible, as we learn it, as we take these truths and we stand up with boldness, with courage, without fear, because God has made us fearless. All of this resounds and comes back to the glory of God. Amen.